You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is from our Christmas Eve service and the final message from our sermon series, Missing Peace. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey, let me welcome you as well to Mid-Current Church. My name is Sten. I'm the pastor here, and it is such an honor. It is our true honor to have you as our guest here tonight. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas as well. I've heard that last song, Mary, Did You Know, hundreds, I don't know, if not thousands of times, I suppose, since it was first written in 1984. It has become a staple in the collection of Christmas songs that are played all over the place every December and sometimes November, if you are one of those sick and twisted people who play Christmas music before Thanksgiving. If that's you, I'm willing to forgive you just this once today. It's my Christmas present to you. Merry Christmas. Now back to the song. I've heard the last song we just sang more times than I can count, but something about it struck me this year in a way that it really never had before. All of a sudden, it clicked for me. The reason the song is so powerful and the reason the song is so poetic and the reason it's filled with such wonder and even such intrigue is the reality that no, Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not know the full story. I mean, I think she knew that, yes, God was up to something pretty big, but she did not know the full extent of really what was in store for her. And what she did know, she did not totally understand. And that's what made the first ever Christmas a pretty traumatic one for her and for her soon-to-be husband, Joseph. They did not know the whole story of what was in store for them and in store for their son. They did not understand what was happening to them exactly. And maybe more than that, they did not understand why in the world God would have disrupted their life in the way that he did, especially when they were trying hard to do everything right. And so I wonder this morning how many of you feel like or have ever felt like that you're trying hard to do all the right things, and yet it feels like life around you is unfolding in a way that you too just do not understand, or in a way that you did not ask for, or in a way that you did not see coming. You might be doing everything that you can to raise your kids in a way that you thought was best. Now they're making decisions that are quite frankly pretty discouraging to you. Or you may have had dreams and plans for a great marriage, and yet at the moment you're still single. Or maybe you are married, but your marriage, if you're honest, is nothing like you hoped it would be. Or maybe for you, you didn't plan on battling depression or anxiety, or you didn't plan on the last 3 years being some of the funkiest years that we would ever experience, or maybe life or career or family hasn't gone the way that you planned. And maybe for some of you here today, your disappointment in life, your disappointment in these things or others, maybe for some of you, the disappointment that you're experiencing is teetering on disappointment with God. For many of us, when we don't understand what's happening around us, or when we don't understand what's happening to us, when we don't get it, oftentimes we don't get God. And if that's you, I would hate to see you walk away from God or to give up on God. And so the question that I want to raise for us today is this: what do you do when you're disappointed by God? I think this is the one thing that all of humankind has in common. I think we've all felt that way, disappointed in life, disappointed maybe in God. I know I've felt that way. I suspect that some of you have felt that way. And the truth is, the very people that God chose to bring his son into the world, I think they felt it too. And it's ironic because when the angels announced the birth of Jesus, here's what they said. They said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace on earth. It sounds pretty amazing. And yet, as we are going to see today, the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus were anything but peaceful. No one really knew fully what was going on. So what do you do? What do you do when you do not understand what is happening around you? What do you do when you find yourself wondering where God is or what he's doing? What do you do when you're trying to do everything that you think is right and yet you still feel disappointed by God? That's exactly where Mary and Joseph found themselves just 9 months before the first ever silent night. And it's their story that I want to examine a little bit further today. It's quite a dramatic story of a young engaged couple. You might be familiar with this story, but what I want you to do today is to try to listen to the details of this story in a way that you never have before. I don't want some of the reality of these details to escape you or to just sail over your head. Right, the story is filled with so much more than it would appear just on the surface. It's filled with the fear of betrayal and of humiliation. It's the story of a traumatic birth. And then there's a hit put out on the life of Mary and Joseph's son as soon as he draws his first breath. I don't think either of them, Mary or Joseph, I don't think either of them would have drawn it up this way. Nonetheless, this is how it all played out. And so I want to drop in on their story as it's written in Matthew chapter 1. Here's what we read. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, and so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, whether you are familiar with this story or not, what I want to point out to you is the reality that this, what we just read, it's like the ultimate Cliff Notes version of the story. It's actually only two verses and just four sentences, but if we were to read between the lines, I think we'd realize that there is a whole lot of life going on in those four sentences. There's a whole lot of fear going on in those four sentences. There's a whole lot of anxiety. There's a whole lot of uncertainty. I'm thinking there's got to be some sleepless nights going on in those four sentences, as I have to guess that this is not what they had planned. Now, we don't know exactly what they had planned, but I think we can take some really good educated guesses. Think of their engagement like you would think of any engagement today for a young couple. And just for fun, this is not how any of this happened, but just for fun, I imagine maybe the plan that they had in mind looks something like this. Maybe Joseph had the most perfect proposal plan downtown Nazareth, and maybe he got Mary's Aunt Elizabeth to hide around the corner so she could snap the perfect photo of Mary's reaction for Mary to post on Instagram, hashtag Mary's getting married. You have to have a hashtag if you're getting married. It's just a rule. I didn't make up the rules, but that's how it works these days, okay? Maybe the plan was to get married in an old barn out in the country, and they were so excited because they would be the ones to make barn weddings popular 2,000 years ago. They'd immediately get on the Dave Ramsey plan, and they'd start paying off Joseph's trade debt. And once they saved enough money, they'd buy a nice little place just outside of town. Joseph would turn the garage into his workshop. He'd build a custom, you know, many custom farm tables for friends and family, and he'd never have to work a 9-to-5 job in his life, proving his mom and dad wrong. And eventually, when the business took off and the farm tables were flying, they'd settle down. They'd have two kids and they'd live in a little farmhouse and have a white picket fence that Joseph built in his shop, and they'd live happily ever after. Now, I may have taken a few creative liberties there, But I imagine their plans had to look something like that. And then one day, here's what we do know. No creative liberties taken. Here's what we do know. Mary breaks the news to Joseph. She's pregnant. And Joseph is painfully aware that they have not done what married people do, and he's a faithful dude. And so he's crushed. He's devastated at the thought that his fiance had been unfaithful to him. And now he has an impossible decision to make: stay together and risk humiliation, or break the engagement, which according to their stage of engagement within Hebrew customs, you know, if he was to break the engagement now, it would have been equivalent to a divorce, which had a whole other set of implications for a righteous man like Joseph. So what does he do? Okay, now think about Mary, young girl. She's done everything right. She's been faithful to God. She said yes to everything that God has asked of her. And now she's carrying a baby that nobody will even understand how it came to be. Joseph is mad at her. He doesn't trust her any longer. And he's contemplating leaving her, which again, in that day meant that she would most likely end up spending the rest of her life alone. Mid-Current, we may not know what their plan was, but we better believe that there was some kind of plan. And God interrupted it with the most complicated, embarrassing, untimely, unfair, and inconvenient set of circumstances that nobody would believe to be true. I don't know what they had planned, but I can almost guarantee that wasn't it. And if you've had things happen in your life that you too do not understand, that you just didn't see coming, here's the first thing that I want to share with you today that I hope would bring good news to you this Christmas. If you've had plans in your life that aren't going the way you thought they would, here's what I want to tell you. You don't have to understand the plan to know that God has a purpose. Proverbs 19:21, it's a powerful scripture from the wisdom book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. It reminds us of this. It says, you can make many plans. The author is writing in many ways. He's writing to you and me as well. He says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. You don't have to understand the plan, gang, to know, to trust, to believe that God has a purpose. And friends, God did have a purpose in all of this. He had orchestrated every single detail. And before Joseph makes a decision that he will regret, God intervenes and God fills Joe in on the plan. And so if we pick up in the next verse, here's what we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It says this: as he considered this, as Joseph considered breaking off the engagement, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joe's going like, man, she was not playing about that, okay? And then the angel goes on, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will, listen to this, for he will save his people from their sins. Here's the reality, folks. Our sin, and we don't like to talk about this stuff, but here's the reality. Our sin, this is your sin and my sin and the sin of all of humanity, for all of human history. It separated us from God. It fractured a once good and perfect relationship that we had with him. And once we were separated, here's the reality. God wanted us back. More than anything, God wanted you back. And the only way that any of us could make our way back to God was to check every single box that the religious law required of us. And here's the deal. God knew that wasn't going to be possible for you or for me or for anyone. God knew there was no way absolutely no way that we could measure up to all the requirements of the law. So God sent his son Jesus to be subject to the law in our place. He sent a sinless man to bear the weight of the sins of the world. Mary may not have known all of what was going on, but God knew. God knew that this was the one thing that we needed most. I said it last week, if you were here with us, if we needed advice, God would have sent a therapist. If we needed more education, God would have sent us a teacher. If we needed better laws, God would have sent a politician. And as necessary as all those are, God knew that they would and nothing else would provide the one thing that we needed most, because what we needed most was forgiveness. What we needed was to be saved from our sin, and so God sent a Savior. Because all along, he had a purpose, and he asked Mary and Joseph. He asked Mary and Joseph to play a part in that purpose, to be a part of the supporting cast. And that leads me to the last thing that I want to share with you today, which is this. Sometimes our greatest disappointment in God can lead us to an even greater assignment from God, if we're open to it. Sometimes it's our greatest disappointment in God that if we're open to him and how he's working in our lives, it can lead to an even greater assignment that God might have for us. But the truth is that there are going to be times in your life when you are disappointed by God, when you feel let down, or when you feel left alone, when you do not understand what is happening, and maybe more than that, you do not understand why it's happening. And I'm not necessarily telling you that all happened on purpose. God doesn't always cause pain and disappointment in our life for a purpose. Sometimes that's just the effect of living in a broken world. But here's the good news. When we choose to cling to God, even in the midst of disappointment, when he's our anchor in whatever storm is swirling around us, then here's the good news. He can and will work in the midst of it. He can and he will create purpose out of it. He can create purpose for you and even a calling for you. And he can create an assignment for you to complete for him and for others in this world that he loves. We can make plans all day long, and many of us do. We can make plans all day long, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. And we don't always have to understand the plans to trust that God has a purpose. Mary and Joseph didn't understand the full plan, but at a certain point, they trusted that God had a purpose, and they said yes to the assignment that God had for them, and the world as we knew it changed forever. And the great news is that all of this is not just a thing of the past. It's not just the way that God worked way back then. God is still at work in the same way today in the lives of people just like you and just like me. And so today we want you to see how God has been at work in the life of our friend Ray. Take a look at this.
My mom had gotten sick. She was diagnosed with cancer when I was 8 years old. We were told she was only gonna get to live for about 6 more months. Thankfully, it lasted longer. It's around 5 years. We had to learn, take care of ourselves, help cook, help laundry, just little kids, and God was a big part in her life. I found it hard to accept that God would allow that. And I was disappointed. I kept thinking, why? Why are you doing this? And I was angry. Once my mom did pass, my faith in God, I stopped. I looked at it as I know God exists, but I don't like him. My dad did what he thought was right by trying to find another wife. It was a month after she passed. He kind of took off and started dating a woman here in Hudson. And my brother and I were alone. at a house just outside the cities, a 13 and 15 year old kid, and we were getting into trouble. I was getting into fights constantly. Put myself in positions where if other people were bullied, I would hop in and make it my problem. I felt I was alone, and I didn't know how to handle it. The way that I numbed it was through drugs and alcohol, and I was still angry. I couldn't see the bigger picture for years. It made me bitter. I had started doing jiu-jitsu because I got my kids into it. While at jiu-jitsu, I had some roller coasters. I went up and down, gone through a divorce. I was upset that the plans of restarting my life didn't go the way I wanted. So I started to work on myself in a way that I hadn't before. Quit drinking, I got completely sober. I started exercising every day, eating correctly, sleeping, and I couldn't figure out why I still didn't want to exist on this earth. I thought, I go, okay, I did everything. I've corrected what I thought. I corrected my major flaws. I should feel good about myself. So one day I went in to train at jiu-jitsu. And that morning I thought, I had said out loud to myself, if I don't feel better at jiu-jitsu, then that's it. Then what's the point? I got done. It was a hard, hard session. And I turned to my buddy, Alex Miller. I said, hey, thank you for being here. I really appreciate this. I needed this. I needed to see you. This was going to be my last day. And he paused for a moment. And he looked up at me and he goes, first off, I love you. I don't want to see you go. And would you be willing to come to church with me? I felt something in my heart that I hadn't felt since my mom was alive. It was that sign that said, this is what you're missing. This is the love that you haven't been paying attention to. My first time walking in the doors here, I was horribly nervous. Alex wasn't even here. He was supposed to be, but his kids got sick. He told me, come back another time. I go, no, I already decided I'm coming. It hit home hard. Every message since has hit home somewhere for me. This is what I've been missing. And I feel God's love. I feel that there's a purpose, that I have a purpose, and that coming to this place wasn't by accident. There's a plan, and I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going with it. God was preparing me for a lot of things. One thing that I'm thinking of is my current job. I'm a mentor, so I'm a mentor for kids. Most people have given up on them. Show them that although they've been surrounded by the dark, that means there has to be light at the end. For those that are going through it right now and can't find the bigger picture, in my opinion, it's impossible to find the bigger picture while you're going through it. God's not going to allow you to see it until you've made it through, and you will not know what that greater thing is until you're there.
Ray didn't mention this in the video, but he told me about how he got the new job that he has today. He was training hard at the gym not long ago, and another man saw him there and leaned over to one of the other coaches in the room and said, you don't train that hard unless you've got that dark of a past. The man soon connected with Ray, and the two swapped somewhat similar stories, and Ray was ultimately offered a job with this mentoring organization that the man worked for. And Ray put it like this to me when we talked over the phone. He said, "Sten, the job found me." He told me that he believes that he was offered the job purely off of his life experience, hardship and heartache and trauma and pain and disappointment, because in his estimation, he didn't have the training or the resume for it otherwise. Friends, sometimes our greatest disappointment in God, it can lead to, if we are open to it, it can lead to an even greater assignment from God. And so wherever you are today, however disappointed or however uncertain you might be about what is in front of you, would you choose to believe this Christmas that while things may not be going the way you planned, would you choose to believe this Christmas that God may still have a great purpose in store for you, a great plan for you, because he is for you. He's not against you, and he can do immeasurably more for you, can do immeasurably more in your life than you ever dreamed or imagined. And in the wise words of our friend Ray, let me just remind you and say this to you this morning. Although you may feel like you are surrounded by darkness, that can really mean only one thing, that somewhere there has to be light. And that is precisely what we celebrate at Christmas. The light of the world came to this earth for us.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.